Good evening, brother. And I thank Brother Jerry Schaefer for giving me the opportunity tonight to do a little preaching. I always appreciate the opportunity to try to encourage my brothers and sisters in Christ. Turn with me to John chapter 3 for a minute. And, the first time I got to stand before the assembly and exhort you, I said that I was going to just kind of one at a time talk about faith. Remember, I talked about Walter Scott and his five-finger gospel concerning faith, belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. I did my best to cover faith, and in a short time frame, it's impossible to express true faith. But to give a little bit of a teaching on it was good, because it takes our entire life to express faith. And I could go on and on and on about that. Our profession of faith is our life, not what we do when we come to God in water. That's for the forgiveness of sins. Tonight, I'll touch a little bit on belief. And as we read the scripture here in John 3, we're going to start in John 3:16. One of the most famous scriptures. People painted on their blackout in football. A jet. You look between any of the uprights in any NFL game, you'll see some guy waving around a sign that says John 3:16. Behind the backboard in the NBA, when these guys are shooting free throws to distract them, they're waving John 3:16 on various bumper stickers, and always on the lips of the true Christian, and as well as the false teachers, is John 3:16, as we're going to talk about a little bit tonight. John 3:16 reads, For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Our great and awesome God in heaven, You are the Creator and Sustainer of all things, living and dead. You have built this earth and all that's in it. And Lord God, we give thanks to You that You have given us minds to reason with, and minds to reason with You with. Heavenly Father, You know all things, and You are able to do all things. And it's our prayer tonight, my prayer tonight, that the truth comes out of my mouth, and it both glorifies You and edifies the saints here in the congregation in Billings. We love You, Lord, and we came here tonight to be encouraged and strengthened to go out into this world and to do as You commanded, to take this scripture and make disciples, and baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we thank You, Lord, that You promised that You would be with us through the end of the age as we teach them what You commanded. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, these are my notes, by the way. So if I look confused, I am. I'm trying to find my place. You know, there is a worldly there is a definition of belief in the world, out in the world, and there is a biblical definition of belief. And that's what I encourage everybody to really examine. There's really two definitions of what belief is, scripturally speaking and earthly speaking, we'll say. I would submit that thinking that something is true does not necessarily make it true, nor is it the biblical definition of belief. I'm sure that we can all come up with several examples of this. I came up with a few of my own. Common to mankind at one point in time, everybody believed that the world was flat. Quick look at Wayne. No. But everybody at one point in time believed that the world was flat until they found out that it was brown. I believed when I was a young child that all of the presents underneath the Christmas tree were delivered by a jolly guy in a red suit in a sleigh being piloted by reindeer flying across the sky. I believed that. Robbing my father of the credit of his hard work, sweat, and everything else to put those under there. I believed that this was true. It didn't mean that it was true. Did not believe that it was true, or did not make it true. You know, and all my life, really all my life, I have believed that Jesus Christ lived with no sin, was crucified for the sin of the whole world, was buried, resurrected, and ascended to heaven. I was taught that, and I truly believe that. I always have. I also believe that this belief would get me into heaven. But that's all I had to do was just believe what I stated there, and I was in. You know, I would also submit that thinking something is not true does not necessarily mean that it's not true either. Regardless of what we think, regardless of what we actually believe, does not change the truth. It remains the same. You know, there was no point in my life where I didn't believe that Jesus was real. There's no point in my life that I didn't believe that He died for our sins. There was no point in my life that I didn't believe that He was buried, resurrected, and ascended to the right hand of God. All of my life I believed this. All of my life I believed that there was an evil force led by the prince of darkness, Satan. All my life I even believed that somebody could actually sell their soul. Later found out that the only time you really... That's not necessarily true in the way that it's taught out there. But I mean, since I was a child, I always had this belief. See, the messengers of this belief that I formed growing up and throughout my life said that that's all you had to do. That's it. You just had to believe that this was true and everything would be okay. You would live forever. You see, I've said the sinner's prayer at least 20 times in my life. At least. I've toured altars from Idaho to Michigan and Wisconsin and Minnesota. And no change. There was never a change. It was a sinner's prayer and it was back to business as usual. Make it to church a couple of times and then I believe I got it. It's all good. Back to usual. One of the most important questions that was ever asked of me when I confessed my belief and my salvation, when I said, brother, and he wasn't calling me brother at the time, I said, brother, I've been baptized. And he said, most important question, what happened next? Shut me up. So I really started to think about that. I really started to consider that. What happened next? Nothing changed. The first time I was immersed, back when I was 20 years old, you know, my grandpa had it, right? I came out of the water. Nothing changed. I did it because grandpa said I should do it. I was in the army. Thinking I was going to war, might not come back. Grandpa knew the importance of what was going on. I didn't. But it didn't matter to me because all I had to do was believe. That's what I was thinking. I've been discipled for over 2 years in my past. In my past, I'm talking about before I actually came into Christ. I've been discipled for over 2 years in my past by some of the best people that mainstream denominations have to offer. I've been taught by Mormons, I've been taught by Jehovah's Witnesses, Presbyterians, Charismatics, and Pentecostals. Even fundamental, independent, Bible-thumping, pulpit-pounding, hardcore Baptist ministers. I've been taught by these people. Hellfire and brimstone. I've been taught to believe in speaking in tongues and faith healing. I've been taught not to believe in speaking in tongues and faith healing. I've been taught to believe that Jesus is God. I've been taught to believe that He's just the Son of God. I've been taught that He's just an angel. I've been taught that there is no hell, and I've been taught that this earth that we live on is hell. But I've ultimately been taught by every teacher that all I have to do is believe that Jesus lived with no sin, died for our sin, rose from the grave, and ascended to the right hand of God. And that's all I have to do in order to be saved. Let's go back to John 3:16. This is the staple. This is everything. This is where they keep pointing. Every time they point me back to this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. It's an absolutely true statement when we understand what biblical belief is. And looking around the room, I think that everybody in here understands what biblical belief is, what the true definition is. So I'm going to continue on what it is not. See, this is not a standalone scripture. There are so many pyramids of religion out there that are built on one scripture, and two more on top, three more on top of that, and five more, and so on and so forth. And this is a very shaky foundation. You know, nor should it be privately interpreted, as the world would say. You see, all scriptures should interpret all scripture. And if we want to know what scripture means, we should let scripture interpret scripture. Otherwise, the world's going to seek God's blessing by throwing other people's children onto rocks, according to Psalms 137:9. Check it out. You let that one stand alone and your kids are going to be limping and not knowing where they are half of the time. And we know the special relationship that Jesus had with the Pharisees, don't we? Jesus had a very special, personal relationship with the Pharisees. I want to touch this a little bit, because did you know that the Pharisees believed that Jesus was from God? Like I said, when we let John 3:16 stand alone, then everybody's in, right? Let's go back a page. Let's go back to John chapter 3 and start in verse 1. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, "Rabbi, we know that You have come from God as a teacher. For no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him." Stop there for a minute. They knew where Jesus was from. They knew He was from God. They believed that Jesus was sent from God. So they're in, right? The brood of vipers made it, right? The ones that are just like their father, the devil, they're in, right? See, when we let this one scripture stand alone about belief, And all we have to do is listen to the world's instructions, the Walmart Christianity instructions. All you have to do is believe, everybody gets in. This is not a narrow path. Also, they also knew, at least Nicodemus knew, that believing was not enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. That is why he went to Jesus by night. That is what he came there to ask for, and he didn't even have to ask. Jesus answered, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Does that sound like a question? It's not. Jesus cuts to the chase. He knows why he's there. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So, been taught, 37 years, that all you have to do is believe, and poof, you're born again. What happened next? That was a crucial question, brother. That was a wise question that Luke Wilson asked me one night in a Bible study that really helped me turn the corner in my eternal life. Actually, led me to death first and eventually life. You know, when pressed on this, when you're talking out here, and I hope to encourage you, I hope to give you some tools out here. You know, Jared's been doing a great Bible study in the morning on evolution, and you get questions on this when you're out there. If you're talking about the gospel out there and taking the good news out to people, evolution is going to come up once in a while. And every once in a while, you're going to run into somebody that's way smarter than you, way more educated than you are when it comes to topics like this. But 9 times out of 10, you're going to run into this. 9 times out of 10. You're going to run into this. It's important to be able to respond to this. And we've all gone through God's plan of salvation. We know how to address a lot of questions. But I just want to give you a little bit of a different, of an angle a little bit. You know, when you press guys on this, so all that you have to do is believe, and you start laying out some scripture and providing some more evidence, some more pieces to the puzzle when it comes to salvation, they almost always fall back on Romans 10:9. If you confess with your mouth and believe with all your heart that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe with all of your heart, you will be saved. I almost always fall back on that. And, you know, this is another staple that's brought in, another one of their guns that they bring is they use this as a weapon against you, that to their all you have to do is believe theology. And they bring this out when they're tested. You know, I heard a story of a man in Jesus' time that when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran to him, fell on his knees and bowed down. He said, Jesus, Son of the Most High. I remember where I read that. It's in Mark chapter 5. It's actually in the Bible. Let's go to Mark chapter 5 and just starting in verse 1. It says that they came to the other side of the sea in the country of the Gerasenes. When he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him, and he had his dwelling among the tombs. And no one was able to bind him anymore, even with a chain, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have together, or do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." Boy, this guy believed, didn't he? Not only did he believe, you know, that sounds familiar. Turn to Matthew chapter 16 with me. Jesus, Son of the Most High God. Matthew 16, verse 13. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, but still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let's go back to Mark 5. "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God?" In my scriptures, Peter, this is literally labeled as Peter's confession. And here's this guy who's confessing Jesus. He obviously believes in Him. Obviously confesses that He is exactly who we know that He is. "For he had been saying to him, 'Come out of the man, you unclean spirit.' And he was asking him, 'What is your name?' And he said to him, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.'" Jesus ultimately gives him his desire and casts him into the swine. So does this guy make it? He obviously believes. Confess with his mouth. Jesus is the Son of God. Now this goes right along with James chapter 2. Verse 19, "You believe that God is one, you do well. The demons also believe and they shudder." Verse 19. Hey, I make a point here. You know, the teachers of this, "All you have to do is believe and you're in," theology, are mere gospel eavesdroppers. They're teaching fragments of truth and interpreting them with lies, and they're feeding the masses mush and charging them at the front door for it. Amen. Now, I'm not saying by any means that belief is not important for the salvation of one's souls. Absolutely, you have to believe. Man, Michael and I and the kids were out in Duluth, Minnesota, knocking on people's doors, trying to gather them in one place so we could preach this message. If we didn't believe, we would be fools. You know, if these preachers were out here saying all you have to do is repent and confess and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, I guarantee everybody in this congregation would be running around saying, "You got to believe." If they were saying all you have to do is confess and be baptized and believe, I guarantee every one of us would be saying, we'd be out here screaming, "You need to repent." You see, you can't have one without the other, and you can't cut and paste scriptures. Amen. Belief is important. Without belief, why are we even gathered here today? You know, Jesus says in Mark 16:16. And he said to them in verse 15, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed and has been baptized shall be saved, but he who has disbelieved shall be condemned." No belief, why would you be baptized in Jesus' name for the forgiveness of your sins? You have to believe. Of course you're condemned if you don't believe. Belief is super important. This is the beginning of the road to every Christian. I'm thankful to stand among real believers. Because as you read the Scriptures, and especially the book of Acts, as I've been going through lately, you see what this belief actually produces. When you believe that God did exactly what He said that He did in the Scripture, when you truly understand the death on the cross, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension, when you understand He did this for us so that we could be free from sin, because we were formerly free from righteousness. When you understand we are free from sin. We don't have the chains and the shackles on us like the Israelites did when they were chained up in Egypt, that we're now free to serve the living God. When that belief begins to free you up, then naturally you're going to repent. Naturally, when you understand that God is truth and every man is a liar, when you understand all these lies that I believed for all these years that were binding me down and preventing me from doing what God created me to do, when those start to break and crackle, fall off, you understand that you don't have to sin anymore. You're not a slave to this. That's not your master anymore. You start to change your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your spirit, being transformed by the washing of the Word. You couldn't do this before when we were out in the world. We're being fed all these lies. We still have to be careful what we believe. Daily. I shouldn't say daily anymore. Monthly. Maybe bi-monthly. Maybe sometimes weekly. Still dig one up. I remember sitting in Luke's living room. You know, the Bible says cleanliness is close to godliness, right? Luke said, yeah. Says, where's that at? I'll find it and tell you next week. Been filled with all kinds of lies. That's a lie that's been used to push women down in a false church for years. That's my grandpa where that came from. He came out of Mormonism. These lies. Fight them with the truth. And if you want to know the truth, here's the source. Right here. Now when somebody comes up here and preaches out of this, check them. The true Christian, man. Hey, if I got something wrong, let me know, because I want to be right. Careful what you believe. To those out there that might be listening on internet or something, as I am truly among brethren tonight, that understand all these things, but if you want to know if there's more to belief, you know, I touched on a few things, man, hit me up, hit any of the saints up. Any one of us is ready for an answer, with an answer from the Word of God, not from our own mind. And not one true Christian is doing it for any gain other than for the gain of the kingdom of God. I love you, brother. That's all I got tonight. Have a great week.